So today, Darren, we've got a guest, Shane Stark, and he's going to give us his launch a business tip. So if you're launching a new business, and obviously this is our launch show, it all seems to tie in quite nicely that he's going to tell us what he believes to be his biggest tip.
Exactly. I'm very excited to hear what Shane has to say. As our listeners will hear, Shane isn't local. He lives local now, but he is from... Come on then, Shane, tell us where you're from originally.
Originally from Indianapolis, Indiana. Wow. So I moved over to the UK in 1998. So bit long in the tooth when I moved over, so I haven't lost the accent, but definitely picked up over the 20 plus years quite a few phrases. People back home think I have a British accent.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's because of the phrases that I've picked up. So, yeah, very, very, very funny when I go back home. People love to hear me talk.
Well, I love to hear you talk. You've got such a lovely accent. I think it's great.
People actually think that I've dropped my Brummie accent because I've lived away from Birmingham for 4 or 5 years, but I can't hear it myself. When I speak with my family, they're kind of like, oh, you're definitely sounding posher. You know, I don't think I do. But
I think you've got two accents because sometimes it's very Brummie. Other times it's not at all.
Yeah, it depends what I hold on to and who I speak with, I think, sometimes. That professional... Yeah. Touch kind of means maybe I need to speak a little bit more proper and form my words so people actually think that I know what I'm talking about. But other times I'm just a little bit more relaxed and I can't be bothered. And I just relax back into Brummie. So Shane, you've come across from Canada and you've been in the in Shropshire for 5 years or so. Tell us what you do.
Indianapolis is a bit south of Canada. It's in the States.
Yeah, it's in the States. I was going to say that. I'm not sure Wayne knows his geography as well.
I was just
we can edit that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just move it anyway. It's much better in Canada. I prefer Canada.
The winters are very much like Canada. So, yeah, that's probably what you were thinking.
Yeah. Cold in the winter.
So yeah, you've come across to Shropshire, and tell us the story. How have you got to Shropshire?
Well, originally I moved over. So the company I moved over with at the time, we were expanding in Europe. I was working for them in the States, big European expansion plan. So when I originally moved over, I moved over to the Northwest. Lived in Cheshire, South Manchester. Lived there for. Gosh, up until 2014, 2015, I think, maybe even 2016. Still with the same company the whole time. We expanded, we built new products and everything. Yeah. It was really fun. It was really exciting, to be honest with you. Probably way too much responsibility when I first moved over, to be honest, for where I was with knowledge and stuff. But we picked that up as we went along. But then one of the organizations that we acquired in 2014 was based in Shrewsbury. And so as a result of that, when we bought them, we needed to do the whole integration and everything like that. So I moved down to Shrewsbury, moved the family shortly after. And that's how I ended up in Shropshire. But, good wife and twin boys, we love it here. We've got a great life.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. So without further ado, we better hear the wonderful main launch tip for businesses, please, Shane.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I find myself talking to people about in a different, few manners really is stop focusing on what they sell and focus more on what the customer is buying. And I think that's very important because there are a lot of ways to get your product out there, to market, to share the experience and all those different things. And those are great. But to a lot of folks, it's a so what factor. It's not something they're interested in. Mm. But if you know your demographic, if you know your market, and you know why they're buying from you, then you can focus your time and your energies. And it's so much more powerful. There's a lot of ways of figuring that out if you don't know it. First and foremost, talk to your regular customers or your top 10 customers, and ask them point blank, hey, why do you buy from me? Why do you use our services? Mm. Mm-hmm. And Wayne, I would imagine that's probably something, in your line of work that you spend a lot of time trying to figure out the, you know, core demographic and all of that, and you know, who's buying and why they're buying. But I think that is invaluable, only for this, you know, if nothing else, just to help you get your pricing right.
Quite. And understand, you know, understand your vertical markets is kind of crucial, because of course, you know, generally speaking, with any business, their market is split. So they're not necessarily selling to the same kind of person all the time, because they've got different services. So their demographic might change. And that means what they respond to may change. And if we're not considerate about that, then we're not talking to our target market, you know? Yeah. And I think there's lots of lost opportunity, definitely, yes.
Well, picking up on something you just said there with the lost opportunity, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, when I end up working with companies, it's because they've found themselves in this spot where they're delivering a lot of different products or services to a small number of customers, because they've tried to be all things to all people. They didn't truly understand where the value was that they were providing. And obviously, the flip of that is where you want to be. You want to have a small number of products going to a large number of people, or a larger market anyways. And that makes it difficult when you're the other side, because if you're doing a large, you know, large set of services, products, whatever, to a small group, usually that ends up backfiring, because the owner's the one that tends to end up carrying the water on all of that, because they're making the decisions on the fly. So they end up getting almost consumed by the business when that happens. And it makes them tough, you know, to pivot out of that.
Yeah.
And to transition.
So when you're launching a business, what you really want to do is to... Firstly, it's a passion, isn't it? You know, ideally, you're launching a business because you love what you do. You've got skill, talent, or, you know, it's something that you've always maybe wanted to do. Maybe you've done it part-time and you want to professionalize what you do. So there's all of that kind of passion and potential. But you probably need to focus on a few core services, don't you? Because you're going to end up trying to be all things to all men. And it kind of means as well, you've probably got less time and less focus, you know, to tell the story, what makes you different, who you're telling this to, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, you'll know as well as anyone, startups, you just can't compete on price. You know, if price is where you're trying to compete, it's, you know, unfortunately, you're going to be one of those statistics of organizations that don't make it. So it really is making sure that, you know, you understand your markets and you know, who you're trying to reach and why they buy from you. And again, go ahead.
No, carry on. Thank you. I think someone's trying to call through with some amazing further tips to do with.
All right. Yeah.
My phone is going off now.
Is the dashboard on the phone lighting up with questions from the panel?
All the calls are coming in.
Moment. Shane, incredibly important tip. Darren, what is your perception?
I was actually sort of relating, it's interesting for me for relating to myself as a voiceover artist. When I first set up, you know, a voiceover artist encompasses a huge number of genres, really. It's basically anywhere the human voice is needed. There is a market for it. And when I started up, the advice I was given was, try and find your genre, which at the time I sort of thought, well, I don't know, you know, this is my voice. It can be used for all sorts of things. But it was fairly sort of early on in my career that, yeah, I started realizing and listening to the sort of jobs that I was getting, which a lot of that has been, in fact, sort of jobs for, say, children's audiobooks and that sort of thing, and that I've got quite a kind of storytelling kind of voice, and that as I say, I kind of think I should have noticed earlier on. I should have paid attention earlier on to the kind of, say, the jobs that I was getting in. But it's very easy, I think, saying in my sort of business, to be thinking, oh, there's the where the money is, if you see what I mean, you know, like where you know, you imagine, oh, you know, advertisements and on the telly and all that kind of stuff. But but yes, as I say, I had to kind of take a bit of a, like, hang on a minute,
Yeah.
What? Listen to what the work you're getting. You know, look at that and pay attention, as Shane says, to what are people buying from me, not what I'm selling. I'm selling my voice, but I can sell my voice to the world. But the people who are actually buying it, you know, look at them. Mm-hmm. You know, see.
That's it. I mean, you know, the question is, why me? Why are you choosing me?
Yes.
You know, and for a lot of people, it's that, my phone's lighting up as well now on our
oh, my goodness. We really are very popular.
We're going to crash the 4G network. It's going nuts. I think it's interesting because if you're struggling to figure that out, there's one thing that I recommend, and it's called the Net Promoter Score. And you've probably used some sort of customer satisfaction survey or customer results or, you know, tell us what you think sort of thing. And the Net Promoter Score is very easy to use. It simply is based on the fact, you know, rate me from 1 to 10, you know, how well you like me or how well you like our product or service. So, you know, 1 bad, 10 great. Mm-hmm. And then the follow-up question is, tell me why you gave that score. So it's really easy to use. Obviously, you want to have more 9s than 10s than you do 1s and 2s. And that's how the score kind of works out. You take your 9s and 10s, unless you're, you know, 1 to 6s, and a positive number is really good. But the real influential information is, you know, the population of your customers that will actually tell you why they like you. And it's hard for some people. I mean, you know, we've all got this, what we call our gut feeling. We're in the limbic part of our brain. We like something. We can't always explain why we like it, but we like it, and that's good enough for us. Ask me to put that in words, I can't, but it just somehow it connects with me, you know? So that's why I use you. That's why I buy your product. That's why I go to your shop. You know, I like the atmosphere or something. And, you know, again, using a restaurant or a pub example, you know, there's certain, you know, burgers and pints and things you can get from any pub, bar, you know, anywhere around, but you go to one specific pub or one specific restaurant because you like the atmosphere, you like the people there. There's something that, you know, keeps you coming back. And that's really where, you know, if you can figure out why people choose you, you know, why they're buying from you, not what you're selling, but what they're buying, then it allows you to, you know, steady the ship and focus on what you're going to be successful at.
Wonderful. Yeah. And also it means that as you progress, you know, you hold on to what that is and you do it better, or you, you know, you carry it through, because you know, a fundamental thing could be, well, actually I like doing business with you directly. Now of course, if you're employing people aren't necessarily going to get to speak with you as readily as they used to. So, you know, there are considerations to how you open up your diary, how you form appointments, who you see, just on that alone, never mind maybe it's impactful on your brand personality as well. You know, so there's lots to consider. But, you know, I think fundamentally, if you're launching something, you're launching a new business, you've got passion and drive, you will find your place in the market. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, as Darren's example mentioned, to understand what you wish to provide and how you can build a business around that. So let's just encourage people, you're better to just do something rather than not. You'll always regret it. So just get it done. Definitely.
Yeah. So, and I think it's, you know, Wayne, it's important. So if you try something and it doesn't work, you know, ask the people why it didn't work. You know, don't be afraid to seek that feedback, because it could be the smallest little tweak that you need to make to turn something that people don't understand. It might be just they don't understand it. Yeah. You know, and so it might just be in the way it's being explained. I think a lot of times we fall into the gap, you know, and Darren, you could probably wax poetic with voiceover and, you know, and all the industries and everything that would go, but I wouldn't be able to relate to that. I'd really need a simpler version to understand, you know, when you were explaining, you know, what you would do. And sometimes it's, you know, how we break that down. And, you know, Wayne, going back to something else you said, I think, if I could pick up when you talked about the employees, obviously from the startup, you know, perspective, probably not as big of an issue, but from the scale up perspective, when you're starting to put, you know, some management tiers and things in place, it's extremely important then, because now you're empowering people to represent you and your brand.
Yeah.
And that's where you really kind of want to focus on, you know, don't just hire folks based on the skill set they have, but find the people that believe what you believe. Yeah. But then you can kind of, you know, they'll replicate. They like you because they like what you do. They've bought into the bigger picture, you know? So again, if they get why your customers are buying from you, then it's only going to enhance the customer journey.
Yes. Mm. Wonderful. Shane, thank you for your time. Shane can be reached through our website. Shane will be back providing tips on every podcast that we do, or should I say showcast. Shane, it's been an absolute pleasure. Catch you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Shane.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Been fun.